Hello, welcome to See What Show. I'm Mr. Brown.
And hello, I'm Ling.
And this is the movie, TV and DVD review podcast for regular people. This week we are reviewing The Other Bolin Girl. The Other Bolin Girl.
Who was the original Bolin Girl?
I'll tell you later.
We're also reviewing My Blueberry Nights by Wong Kar-wai.
Oh no.
Wang Jia-wei.
Art movie.
Well, yes and no. Tell you later.
Okay. And definitely maybe a romantic comedy starring Ryan Van Wilder Reynolds. That's him.
Okay.
Let's see what's showing this week.
What's showing this week? Shutter.
Isn't it showing? Hasn't it been shown already?
No, this is the Amor version.
Amor version,
Remade version of the original Chinese version.
Aha.
Yes, the original version was shot by two Thai brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about a cameraman who take photo, then these photograph inside got ghosts.
That's right. Apparently, they see dead people in the photos, and then they try to investigate what's behind, and then they find themselves creeped out, made by the producers of The Grudge and The Ring.
Yes. The American version, the Japanese
version.
I see. Next time, don't buy from Sim Lim.
Don't buy,
Haunted camera. Must ask first.
It's called Spirit Photography, if you watch the trailers.
Okay.
Spirit Photography.
It's an ongoing, urban myth, this whole, camera that can see the people. Don't anyhow buy a camera.
Spooky.
Speaking of death, Bucket List.
Bucket List.
It's also showing Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson as two old fogies who decide to do things on the list that they created in order to do it before they die.
Mm-hmm.
Before kick they kick the bucket. It's a bucket list.
Right. Heavyweights, Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, but it looks like a lightweight, drama, like one of those feel good, old guys. Thelma and Louise, but, old guys.
Yes. I mean, if you spend your whole life winning awards doing those very intense roles, surely in your older age, you would like to do a bit of, happy, fluffy, happy, clappy, shiny movies.
Okay.
So, the bucket list.
The bucket list. My mother want to watch because it's got two heavyweights.
Her favourite actors,
Yeah.
Alternatively, you could catch Three Kingdoms starring Sammo Hung, Maggie Q, and Andy Lau. Andy Lau is supposed to play this commoner who rises the ranks to become this general of a one-time warlord, come Emperor Liu Bei. So it looks
This is the original based on the Three Kingdoms.
Correct. It's a historical sort of movie with a lot of killing.
Well, there's so many remakes of this. There are computer games and movies and series ad nauseum on the Three Kingdoms.
Yeah, and I think it's the time to dole out all the history and the exotica about China, right? With the Olympics coming.
They can't find any other kingdom to talk about, man. I always have to be the Three Kingdoms.
See what show? Review time.
Let's talk about the other kingdom, England.
Oh.
The Kingdom of Great Britain.
Yes.
The Other Bolin Girl is a period drama set in the 1500s, I think. The tagline for the movie is, "The only thing that could come between these sisters, ... is a kingdom." So you know what to expect, lah.
Yes.
It's the melodrama, last power politics, that kind of movie. Not unlike those Chinese period drama, like the Song Sisters, do you remember?
Yes, yes.
一个爱钱,一个爱钱,一个爱国,一个爱玩.
对.
One loves power, one loves money, one loves country. The kind of sisterly, drama set in tumultuous political times.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyways, this period drama is set during the time of Henry VIII in England. Famous man with many wives.
No, doesn't make a difference. Henry V, 6th, 7th.
Yeah, 8th is the famous one.
I see.
Where two sisters, Anne and Mary Boleyn, get a fight over him. History buffs can forget about historical accuracy with this movie. This takes the basic story of Anne Boleyn, the famous Queen of England, and one of the merry wives of Henry VIII, and it weaves a tale of love, betrayal, and loyalty. It's based on a book, actually, so the book is also fictional to begin with. The other Boleyn girl is actually Mary, her lesser known sister, played by Scarlett Johansson. Natalie Portman plays Anne. Actually, I prefer it if they had swapped it around.
Oh, is it?
I felt. Yeah, but anyways, Scarlett Johansson is the quieter, more virginal and kind Mary. And
then I see, they were casting against type.
Very weird. Eh? And Natalie Portman is the feisty, lusty, ambitious, you know, prettier of the two girls kind of character. I don't know. That's reverse. I don't like that. Eh? Natalie Portman will always be open and pure for me. Virginal. Eric the Hulk Banner is Henry Tudor, Man of Many Wives. He's the one who broke away from the Roman Catholic Church and set up Church of England, partly because he wanted to end his marriage with his first wife, Catherine of Aragon, which is Spanish royalty. He is very particular about having a male heir to the throne, some historical context, because his father's reign was beset with civil war over, you know, the throne, because the father didn't have a son until, I think, him. So anyways, we're all very messy. So it becomes a very major thing for him as he chooses who becomes his queen, what the queen should do for him, and also his mistresses, how he chooses his mistresses. All about having a son.
An opportunity has arisen to be mistress of the King of England. You could secure for this family incalculable wealth and position.
Do I have a choice?
No.
Do you think he'll like me?
Of course he will, sister.
How could he not?
The King! The King!
May I present my daughter, Anne Boleyn?
You were right to bring me here. And who are you?
Mary, Your Grace.
The other Boleyn girl?
Yes.
You've obviously made a deep impression on the king.
What?
In an age when a woman's destiny...
Our daughters are being traded like cattle for the advancement of men.
...was determined by her father.
It's done.
Tonight.
Try to please him, if you can.
One sister followed the rules.
I didn't betray you, you do know that.
All I know is the man that didn't know who you were was with you in that room for half an hour and came out besotted.
The other defied them.
And what would you know of great men?
I'd no one if you were before me.
Do you see one here?
Looking, my lord.
Ah, found one.
I could give you the son you desire.
We're sisters.
And therefore born to be rivals.
Anne was singled out by her uncle, the Duke of Norfolk, who's a real player. He's a political player. So start to say, okay, you, go and catch the eye of the queen. You, go and catch the eye of the king. The king was very disappointed with Catherine of Aragon because she still hadn't produced a son, only one daughter so far and a whole bunch of miscarriages. So very disappointed. So meets Anne, then falls for Mary. Then bids Mary, gets pregnant. She then Anne feels betrayed, you know, because I was supposed to be the one that he's supposed to go after, right?
Yes.
So anyway, so on and so forth, lah. You get the picture, lah. It gets very seedy, steamy, and all about yiqi and loyalty, and very soap opera, lah. We enjoyed this little movie, wife and I, but I'm afraid Elizabeth, the movie, set too high a bar for us.
I see.
Yeah, it's still the best movie of this kind. In fact, it's kind of a sequel to Elizabeth from a historical perspective, because Elizabeth the First is the result of the union between Henry the Eighth and one of the Boleyn sisters.
Oh.
And then there's a lot of, you know, unhappiness between Spain and England. You know, if you watch Elizabeth and Elizabeth the Golden Age, the root of it comes of a lot during the Boleyn sisters' time.
Mm.
Catherine of Aragon is Spanish.
Yes.
So very politics. Maybe you can watch this, you know, the other Boleyn sisters, and then you watch Elizabeth, then you watch Elizabeth the Golden Age, like a trilogy.
Right. Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it would work. The movie feels kind of rushed, though, at 2 hours. It's a bit difficult to squeeze this much history into one movie.
Elizabeth itself was, 3 hours, right?
Also, that history period, a lot of stuff went on. In fact, you should probably do a series. In fact, they are doing a series in the BBC, I think. The Tudors, yeah. Interesting. You can expect soap opera twists and turns, gorgeous costumes, Acting is so-so lah. You know, and I don't think Natalie Portman and Scarlett Johansson convinced me of their British accent. Cate Blanchett's Elizabeth spoiled us, I think.
Yes.
Gravitas, she had that presence.
Yes, yes.
You know, they didn't, like these two. They look like the impetuous schoolgirls compared to her. I think, I also feel that the real, perhaps, history of the Bolin sisters would have made a better story than this semi-made-up one, to be honest. So sometimes fiction is not as good as fact.
Right.
Yeah, real history is actually more interesting. I went to reread my history, actually. I studied this period.
Mm.
That's why I was a bit offended sometimes.
Because of this movie, it inspired you to go and dig out your books?
Yeah, reread my, some of my British history.
Wow.
Yeah, English history. Quite interesting, the Bolin thing. Yeah, she's very seminal. I mean, that period, the whole breaking away from the Catholic Church was a big deal.
Of course.
So, you know, the start of the English Reformation, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and here they concentrated on the CD stuff. La.
Yeah, of course. Because that puts bums on seats.
Of course. Who wants to hear about the starting of the Church of England?
The Church of England, exactly.
Yeah. But they didn't bring in a lot of characters like Thomas Cromwell and all that stuff, who was a real instrumental in all this stuff.
Mm.
So, that is the other Bolin girl.
Right. Well, it's interesting you mentioned Natalie Portman because she's also in the movie that I watch, My Blueberry Nights.
Oh.
I'm not actually really going to talk about her in the movie because, you should just watch and find out how she features. But she's quite instrumental in the journey of the main character played by Nora Jones. Okay, My Blueberry Nights is directed by none other than the one and only Wong Kar-wai. Of Hong Kong fame.
Yeah, I know.
Wong Kar-wai is gentler with the English-speaking audiences. I can say that after watching this movie, but I'll come back to that later on. The film is basically a romantic one, which explores love between man and woman, father and daughter, and even between virtual strangers, right? Which is quite trademark Wong Kar-wai, like, you know, it's like two people meet and then they have these random conversations and somehow or other the conversation's very loaded. The leads are Nora Jones and Jude Law. Jude Law is Jeremy. He runs a diner. And Nora Jones, as this person called Elizabeth, is a patron. And she basically finds out through quizzing Jeremy that her boyfriend has been cheating on her.
Oh.
So she dumps a set of keys with Jeremy, hoping that her boyfriend would come and pick it up. And then, you know, she can have a confrontation, etc., etc. But no such thing happens. So, heartbrokenly and directionlessly, Elizabeth decides to leave New York and to kind of distract herself with the world out there, to live life in that sense. She can't sleep and all that, so she might as well kind of go out there and experience life and try and distract herself. So she does, and she encounters all sorts of different characters in the process, learning more about herself, right? And somehow allowing her emotional wounds to heal. And that's also where one of the characters she meets is Natalie Portman.
Oh.
Yeah? That's the basic story. So,
wait. Nora Jones, the singer.
Yes.
Oh, she acts me.
I waited till I.
Does she sing in the movie?
Yeah, well, she doesn't sing in the movie, but she sings part of the soundtrack.
Okay. She can act me?
I think in Wong Kar-wai's movie, actually.
No need to act too hard. Just look into the space, then, like, very meaningfully.
I thought to say that, I mean, if he wanted to cast me, I would convince him that, you know, I can do the job and you know, I can have doleful looks. There was a quote, actually, I came across on the internet that he turned Fei Wong into an excellent actress.
Wow.
Sure. Even though she was a
mediocre
singer, according to the quote.
She can sing, what?
Well, if you like that kind of singing,
okay.
Right?
As I looked up at the window, I realized I was on the wrong side.
A few years ago, I had a dream.
Is that the Memphis Bar and Grill? It is? Great. Listen, I wonder if you could help me, please. I'm looking for a young woman called Elizabeth.
Or maybe one of them ran off with someone else.
Maybe the feelings just went away.
You still open?
Wanna come inside? I'm not sure whether that night really happened, or if it was just another dream.
So, okay. Now, this is the exciting part.
Oh, okay.
why is Wong Kar-wai gentler with the English-speaking audiences, right? If you follow Wong Kar-wai's movies, then I guess you would kind of really be interested in finding out, you know, like, what's the difference between this and that? Because this is, after all, his very first English-speaking movie,
right?
And he's working with people like Jude Law, Natalie Portman. They are Hollywood A-listers, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, I've divided them into 6 points.
Oh, I got 6 points.
Number one.
Okay.
Plot. There is a clear and linear plot in My Blueberry Nights.
Oh no, sell out.
Not always
available
in other Wong Kar-wai movies, such as 2046, such as In the Mood for Love. Actually, that's not true. It is also quite a linear narrative, but it's just that, I guess, it's not told in such a way that you think that, oh, there's more and more and more development.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Number two, writing. The characters speak in full sentences.
Oh, wow.
And the sentences have quite a lot of exposition.
Oh, wow.
So...
Oh, quite radical.
That tells you what...
Radical departure.
Some of his other movies were like, lah.
Yeah.
Number three. But of course, you must realize that this is also in English, right? So, you know, like, in Mandarin, it could be like, 你看那里. Whereas down here, it wouldn't be, you look there. It won't be like that. It'll be like, take a look over there.
So it's longer.
Okay, number three.
You're being mean.
Subject of shots.
Okay.
You don't just see shots of female silhouette or male silhouette or random hand or the back of a cheongsam. There are quite a lot of zooming trains, though, in this particular movie. You see what I mean?
Wow.
So you can see some of these references from other Wong Kar-wai movies. Inter-filmic dialogue.
Waleo. Power.
Number four, shooting technique and shots.
Okay.
Well, I still think Wong Kar-wai is quite voyeuristic in his approach, as he usually is. But the framing is quite conventional a lot of the way, you know.
Yeah.
It's not so weird that you like have to crane your neck or that you get
what
a headache listening to, you know, the music and trying to make out why the shot is like lingering for like 2 minutes. Okay, he employs some very nice dual perspective in some of his scenes, so it gives the film quite an interesting texture.
I see.
Yes. Number five, pace. The pace.
It's not glacial.
It's not irregular. It's not too slow. It's not too indulgent, which is a popular complaint that
a lot of
people, you know, of his films. And actually, things do happen in the film, you know. The characters don't just stare blankly and... the shots don't last an eternity, right? So there's that, okay, the character's going somewhere. Yes, oh, she's learning from him. She's seeing her life through his failed, you know, relationship, right? And number six, music. Okay, of course, Wong Kar-wai uses music, you know, in his movies a lot, right? But in this particular movie, there are vocals. It's not just moody musical tracks.
Oh, got people sing. Wow.
Norah Jones, I told you.
Oh, yeah.
And the lyrics are quite telling as well. So they really kind of, you know, help tell the story. Yeah. Well, she does very good rainy day jazz, right? And she does it very well here. I mean, it complements the film because the film is about love and it's about, you know, it's about regret and it's about letting go.
So this is an harmonization of a Wong Kar-wai movie.
Yes, I could say so.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it has to be attributed to the fact that he's working with different kind of actors. Because,
you know,
if you look at his other movies, he's always using people like, you know, Tony Leung and Maggie Cheung, who are so used to his style.
Yeah.
And I guess the fact that it's in English, it also takes on a different sort of character and a different sort of atmosphere, right?
Okay.
Maybe it's the fact that he doesn't want to be too experimental. It could be the fact that, you know, Lawrence Block, who co-wrote with him the script, might have just told him, hey, this is, you know, this is international audience. It's not just the people who are following your work alone, right? So basically, I have no real problems with the movie. I enjoyed it very much. And, you know, if you're used to watching his previous movies, which require a little bit more kind of interpretation, although, frankly speaking, his previous movies, the plot is usually quite simple. It's just that he retells certain things and he emphasizes certain points by exaggerating the length of the music, the length of the shots, etc., right? So for me, I felt that I didn't feel that it was a cop-out. I still feel that he's a true visual artist because he tells the stories very well through the pictures that he uses, there's always something very interesting to watch. And wow, his cast is credible. I mean, it's not because he's cast these people and therefore he, you know, they don't kind of mold to the roles. I felt Nora Jones did well. I felt Jude Law was interesting to watch, not in a power suit, not being all powerful. Natalie Portman has a role in here, quite pivotal as well. There's another guy called David Strathern. I've never seen him before.
David Strathern?
No, sorry.
A bit balding.
Yes.
Yeah, he's an action flick guy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Transporter.
I'm actually not very good with names, but he is really good as well.
Face, right?
Yes, long face.
Yeah, him. Action flick dude. Film, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So don't pray. I think My Blueberry Nights is good. It's a good introduction to Wong Kar-wai if you've never watched his other films.
Go and get the DVD. Kar-wai Wong.
Kar-wai Wong.
Cannot be Wong Kar-wai.
K.W.
K.W. Wong. Yes. Kar-wai Wong. Have to reverse, ma.
Yes.
Li Ang. Ang Lee.
Ang Lee, Li Ang.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Let's move on to something lighter.
Such as?
Definitely Maybe.
Yes. Oh, romantic comedy.
I know. Rom-com.
Same one. My Blueberry Nights is also romantic.
Yeah, right.
Just not comedy.
Not comedy. Okay, Ryan Reynolds of Van Wilder fame is Will Hayes, a dad who's trying to tell his daughter, Maya, who's played by Abigail Breslin from Little Miss Sunshine, how he met her mom, who is, you know, divorcing him, and his past relationships in his life. So it is kind of odd, for one thing, to see Reynolds in a semi-serious role, because he's usually in his campus comedy characters, you know. But it's refreshing. He tells Maya about his past loves, but changes the names so that she has to guess which one is her mom.
Oh.
So that is the conceit. That is the clever thing. So he changes the names. We meet Emily the blonde, college girl next door sweetheart, who is played by Elizabeth Banks. Summer, the dark-haired, passionate writer. you know, stereotype, right? Played by Rachel Weisz, who's getting a bit old.
Rachel Weisz was in My Blueberry Nights as well, but I thought she was terrible.
Yeah? Yes. Here she's making her rice bowl. It's not a, you know, art movie or anything. This is you know, basic make money movie. And April, the free spirited girl, played by Isla Fisher. Isla Fisher is, what did she act in? The Lookout. She was a character called Lovely in The Lookout, and I think she's in another upcoming movie as well, quite big movie. But Isla Fisher is sort of an it girl at the moment. Yeah, quite hot.
I'm going to tell you the story, and I'm not telling you who your mom is.
Fine.
You're just going to have to figure it out for yourself.
Good.
And I'm changing all the names and some of the facts. I just decided that right now because I make the rules, and then we're going to see how smart you are.
I like it. It's like a love story mystery. I'm ready.
14 years ago, I was in love with my college sweetheart. Let's call her...
Emily.
I am worried New York's going to change you.
Change can be good.
You have to give us a summer.
Summer Hartley?
Go be your brilliant self.
Everyone knows that the girlfriend in the beginning of this story gets dumped. Maybe Summer Hartley's my mother.
It's from Emily.
Did you read this?
I read a page.
A page?
And the part about you and Emily touching each other and kissing.
Oh, that part.
You're a great writer.
Sorry, I was just curious.
I'm gonna keep my eye on the ball. Emily and I have a future, we have a plan.
Which may involve some type of threesome then.
What's a threesome?
That's a game that adults play sometimes. When they're bored.
Whatever.
Can I get 10 copies?
You're the toilet paper guy.
Oh my God!
You know what's really cool? We can just sit here. We don't have to worry about flirting or all the attraction stuff.
Poor April, who's always been the friend. Then she realized she wants to be the girlfriend.
Why are you so concerned with all of this?
I want you to be happy.
I'm happy.
Trust me, Dad. You're not happy. Gonna close my
eyes. For Will Hayes, a second look at the past.
You and me, it'd kind of be like cats and dogs.
Oil and water.
Sandpaper and bare ass.
That's gross.
Might give him a second chance for the future.
This story has a happy ending.
What is it?
You.
The movie, I think, works because Will has to tell his story in a PG manner for his young daughter to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So we are spared some of the sordid, unpleasant details that plague you know, relationships that work and don't work, you know, three different women. I mean, after all, things that like this can get messy. And then we're talking about a divorce as well. So also interesting is how he goes into politics and how his politics, political views and ambitions change over time. Because it flashes back to the 1990s, early 90s, when he met, you know, we talk about the first girl. So there's a little bit of a nostalgia thing. It's a nice nostalgic touch. Mm. He started work doing, his first few jobs was working in the Clinton campaign. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
That's a bit of backstory there. Retelling his story to Maya helps her to understand that love is tough, complicated, not so simple and easy. It also helps Will rethink his priorities and maybe find someone who can truly make him happy.
Mm.
So that's a interesting thing. As he retells it, you know, I think it makes him think about what's important to him. Some might find the pace slow and a little too unrealistic, but he is kind of telling a PG version to his daughter. So, you know, don't expect the gritty reality approach to relationships. The important thing to remember is that Maya knows who her mom is in real life.
Going to ask.
Everybody does ask this. But she does not know how she met her dad and which character, which of the three women he's talking about is her mom.
Right.
You see?
So that means the mom has changed in the course of it all. I mean, as in she's a different, she's behaving differently and she's not.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they never review the mom.
Oh.
You see, at the beginning, we only see Maya and Will.
Oh.
Yes. And we know that Will is getting a divorce from her mom. So she just wants to know, how do you meet mom? You know? So this plot point is very important to grasp.
Mm.
Or else you'll be wondering the entire bloody movie, or at least three quarters into it, like we did, how come Maya doesn't know who her mom is?
Mm.
You see? So no, it's not that. It's, you know, she knows her mom in real life. She just doesn't know how they met and which of the three characters, because he made up names, right?
All right.
In the storytelling that he's, you know, the retelling of his relationships is her mom.
Okay.
She has to guess.
Right.
I think this is one part where the movie didn't establish it clearly and early enough. So that's why people got confused.
Mm.
But aside from that, I enjoyed the movie. It's a good, good, good date movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And really, really excellent rom-com.
Mm.
Mm, does it justice. I normally don't say things about romantic comedies. No, I don't normally say nice things about romantic comedies. This one I totally enjoyed.
So, because in his retelling, we see like flashbacks and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's mostly in the past. And it's interesting, like, because you see some of the you know, the past stuff. And it's very sweet. Like, there's some parts. Some really, really. There's a Jane Austen reference.
Mm.
Jane Eyre, I'm sorry. Jane Eyre reference in there, which is quite nice.
Mm.
And some of the jokes are pretty funny as well. It's not funny all the way. At the beginning, the thing that kicked off the whole story was Maya's school was teaching sex education. These are like 6-year-olds.
I can see why.
So she's like, what is a penis? Then like, oh no. How was I born? So it's like, that's why
it led
to that.
Right.
Yeah. And then at one point, it was quite funny. Is, you know, he was telling the daughter, well, I had a few relationships, three relationships, including your mom, and then a couple of other not-so-serious dating ones. And she asked, what is the man word for slut? And then when the father was talking about, you know, buying a packet of cigarettes, you smoked? Wait. You smoked?
Right.
Mm. Yeah, but I don't anymore. Yeah, that was a bad thing.
That's cute.
So that's why it's PG, you see.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyways, that is definitely maybe. So definitely watch it, not maybe. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A production of Scene. What? Show.com.